So I want to tell you a funny story about a New York City lawyer. Okay? He was young, handsome, big. He went down to West Texas, and he was in a dove shoot, and he shot a dove, and the dove fell over on the rancher's property, and he started climbing this fence to go get that dove. And this rancher came out and said, you can't go over my fence. You can't go into my field. That's trespassing. And the lawyer said, I'm not going to let some redneck keep me from claiming my dove. That's my property. I shot it. It's mine. If you don't let me get that dove, I'm going to sue you for everything you've got. The old rancher said, well, that's not what we do down here in Texas. That's not how we handle things. We do something different down here. We do the Texas three-kick rule. And the lawyer said, what are you talking about? What's the Texas three-kick rule? He said, well, it's real easy. I kick you three times, and then you kick me three times, and we keep trading kicks until somebody says, I give up, and it's all settled. And the lawyer said, man, I'm younger than you. I'm stronger than you. You're just an old hayseed. Okay, let's do it. And so the rancher went first, and he kicked the lawyer in the shin with his sharp-toed cowboy boot. Then he grabbed his leg, and he kicked him in the gut. He fell down. He lost all of his breath, and then before he could recover, the rancher kicked his other leg out, and the lawyer just fell in a big pile of heap. But after a few moments, he got back up, he dusted himself off, and he said, now, old man, I'm going to show you how we kick in New York City. And the rancher just smiled and said, no need, I give up, go get your dove, and he walked off. So maybe you're having a rough time right now. Maybe you want to kick somebody. Maybe you want to give up. And I'm telling you, you don't need to do any of those things. Because the Lord is promising us peace. He wants to give you perfect peace. We've been in the Gospel of John for a long time. And I think God knows when we come to this passage of Scripture, which could be the greatest promise of peace in all the Bible. That's how great God is. So take your Bibles or your digital device and turn to John 14, 27. If you would not mind standing with me to honor God's word, that'd be great. So I'm going to read to you just a few verses here. Peace, verse 27, peace I leave with you. It's kind of like his last will and testament. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Okay, there's two different pieces. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and he says, I'm coming back to you. That's awesome. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Verse 29, I've told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He's talking about the devil. The devil already entered into Judas, and Judas betrayed Jesus, and we know all that happened. But he says, he has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. And then he says, come now, let us leave. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that we will hear from you. We need to hear from you today. We need to understand these promises, these principles. We need to hear from you today about your peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we've been in this same setting for a while. They're in the upper room. It's after the Last Supper, and Jesus is leaving the upper room, and the upper room is in the upper city of Jerusalem, and they're going to go down. They're going to walk down a half mile journey down through the Kidron Valley, walking down the steps just south of the Temple Mount. I've been there, and we're going to go there in February. If you're going to Jerusalem, we're going to be on those steps. You're walking down the Kidron Valley back to the bottom part of the Mount of Olives, which we call the Garden of Gethsemane. And on the way there, he's going to continue to teach them. And in chapter 15 and chapter 16, there are some great, great lessons. And then in chapter 17, he's praying to his Father. And we call other things the Lord's Prayer, but that actually in chapter 17, that is the Lord's Prayer. He's praying to his Father. It is a great chapter. And as he's walking down, it's dark there and there's vineyards scattered, you know, on the side of the mountain. And I'm sure Jesus stopped in one of those vineyards and he said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, guess what he's going to do? He's going to remove it. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. But for now, I want us to grab a hold of that great promise of peace that Jesus wants to give you. He said this, I'm going to give you my peace, but it's not the peace that the world gives. It's my peace. You know what the difference is between the world's peace and the peace of Jesus? Basically, the world's peace says peace is an absence of conflict. But Jesus says peace is God's gift of serenity in the midst of your problems. People talk a lot about world peace, and maybe that's a good answer for a beauty contest. But there's an article I read a long time ago in New York City in which they studied 4,000 years of recorded human history, and they said there was only about 200 years of relative peace. And that's just time for people to reload and get ready for the next conflict. A lot of people are asking, is inner peace even possible? I read where a lady wrote to a newspaper. She said, my therapist told me the way to achieve true inner peace. And the therapist said, you've got to finish what you start. And so far today, I've finished 2 bags of chips and a chocolate cake. I feel so much better. You know, the world's definition of peace, here's what they say. You know, basically when COVID is over, and by the way, we had 2 members this week that I know of that got COVID. And it's not as bad as it used to be, but they got it. And so a lot of people think when COVID is over, then we'll have peace until the next crisis comes along. Jesus says, you know what? You can have peace right now, in the middle of your problems, the crisis, whatever's going on, you can have peace right now. So today, I pray that God will give you the ability to choose peace over panic. And if you have fears and frustrations, God wants to replace all of that with faith. So I have 3 points I want to give you today. Number one in your notes, know that God is there. He is there and he sees what you are facing. He's right there with you. He knows what you're facing. We read in Psalm 139 that God knows everything about you. He knows what you'll say before you say it. He knows when you lie down. He knows when you get up. He knows everything about you. His thoughts for you and of you number more than the sand on all the seashores. He cares about you. When you're going through a tough time, you need to know that he is there with you. Remember the great Bible teacher, Corrie Ten Boom? She was in a Nazi concentration camp. Her sister died there. This is what Corrie Ten Boom said. There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. And all throughout the Bible, we find this tremendous promise of peace. And later I will share there's a little bit, tiny difference between the peace of God and the peace with God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, he was chained and he was in a dungeon. And he wrote these words about peace, Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. And I got to tell you, I get anxious a lot. You know, I get anxious about coming out here and talking to you. I get revved up. I get anxious about things. He says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Basically, he's giving his last will and testament. And he's saying to everybody here, he's saying to the church, he's saying to his family, to his kids, you and me, I want to give you peace. I'm bestowing to you the peace that passes all understanding. Now, some of you are familiar with the Serenity Prayer, especially if you've been a part of the 12-step program. That prayer was actually written by an American theologian by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr. And it's a great prayer, and we should all pray it. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's a great prayer. But somebody created a parody of that prayer, and it's not called the Serenity Prayer, it's called the Senility Prayer. And it goes this way. It says, God, grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway. The good fortune to run into the ones I do and the eyesight to know the difference. I'm telling you that God's eyesight is perfect. He sees what you're facing. God is never surprised. He knows what's coming. I've said before, there's something that you will never hear in heaven. You will never hear the word, uh-oh, in heaven. You never hear that. I'm thinking of a word right now that our founding fathers used to, they kind of described God in that way. Our founding fathers, they capitalized it. They put it in their papers. They put it in their writings. It's a powerful word. There was a guy by the name of Roger Williams who named a city after that, and it eventually became the capital of Rhode Island. You probably know the word, Providence. In the Declaration of Independence, it speaks about divine providence. Do you know what the word providence means? It comes from two words, pro and videre, which we get our word video from videre. Pro means to look ahead. Videre, we get our word video from that. It means to see ahead. So here we are in October 2022, and none of us could look ahead and see what was coming. We didn't know that COVID was going to happen, but God knew all about it. He could see ahead, and because of his providence, God could see ahead, and we're going to be right where we are. He knew this was going to happen. He knew the outcome. He knew all of it, and basically what he wants to do, he wants to carry you, and he wants to give you peace. So one way you can claim this peace, to know that God is right there, and you need to know he sees what you are facing. Number two in your notes is this. Know that God is aware, and he knows what you're afraid of. He knows what you're fearing. God is aware. He knows what you're fearing. You know, during COVID, the stress levels were high. It's difficult for many people. It's still difficult for some people right now. There was a rise in suicides. I read an article that people were struggling with insomnia. It was a huge problem in America, even before COVID. 70 million people struggle with insomnia. And the statistics show that, and I was shocked by this, that more women struggle with insomnia than men do. I heard one woman explain it this way. She said, that's because there's not much going on in a man's brain to start with.
Amen.
Amen. And there's a lot of difference between the way women think and men think. I got this picture up here, and I saw this picture that showed a different way that women's brains work. A woman's brain is a conglomeration of interconnected circuits that are always firing, and a man's brain is basically a left brain. We compartmentalize everything. It's just a bunch of boxes. A work box, a marriage box, a family box, a hobby box. And you got to know there's really a box up there that is totally empty. Wife will ask her husband sometimes, what are you thinking about? And he says, nothing. She says, is it possible to think about nothing? You got to be thinking about something. And he says, no, I'm thinking about nothing. There's a box up there that is full of nothing. Someone said your brain is an amazing instrument. It starts working the moment you're born, and it doesn't stop until you stand up in front of a crowd and you got to speak. Your brain never stops. It's always working. It even works when you're sleeping. That's why we have dreams. Don't you wish that you could just switch off your brain? Okay, I'm going to switch off my brain right now. I'm going to go to sleep all night. And in the morning, I'm going to switch it back on. Unfortunately, you can't switch your brain off. But you know what, my friend? There's something you can do. You can change the channels. You can change the channels. Two of my favorite bedtime channels in my brain are channel 4. And channel 26. Channel 4 is Psalms 4. Channel 26 is Isaiah 26. Two of my favorite verses at night, Psalm 4. In peace, I will lie down and sleep for you alone, Lord. Make me dwell in safety. Isaiah 26 says this. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. So you can change the channel. You can do that. A widow wrote me years ago that her husband died. She had trouble sleeping. And so she just changed everything, and she memorized Psalm 23, and she really emphasized the personal pronouns in that. And she would say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And then she said she would sometimes fall asleep before she would get to the end. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If you're having trouble sleeping, I think you might need to change the channel. That might be good. Just know that God is aware and God is there. The third thing in your notes, you got to know that God cares. He knows everything that you're feeling. God is there. He is aware. He cares. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows what you're feeling. Hebrews 4, we read about Jesus is our high priest. He was tempted in every way like we are, but yet he did not sin. And then it says he was touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. Think about that. You know, worry is a sin. Don't you know that Jesus was tempted to worry, but he resisted it? Fear is a sin, and we know Jesus was tempted to be afraid about all the stuff he was going to go through, but he didn't sin. The passage is saying every feeling that we experience, our Lord Jesus has experienced everything because he is our high priest. He knows everything that we're going through. He knows when you're scared. He knows when you're afraid. He knows when you're intimidated. I love that old song. I can't pronounce her first name, Mahalia Jackson. She sang, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." But at the end of that song, she writes, "Nobody knows but Jesus." And friend, I just want to tell you today, God loves you, he cares for you, and he wants to give you peace. Mark 4, they're on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a storm, and they were fighting the waves and fighting the wind, and what was Jesus doing? He was asleep. He was asleep. And they were panicked, and they woke him up, and they asked him, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown?" You ever thinking that? You ever wondering about that? Lord, don't you care? Don't you care what I'm going through right now? Don't you care about my desperation, my isolation? God, I'm hurting. Don't you care? God, I lost my job. Don't you care? God, I've got cancer. Don't you care? Lord, I'm all alone. Don't you care? I had a loved one that just died. Don't you care? And all the answers to all of those questions in the Bible, the answer is yes. Over and over and over and over again, the Bible says God cares for us. You can cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. There's an old passage in the book of Isaiah, and the writer is basically asking God a question. Isaiah 49, verse 15. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." And then 16 is so powerful. It says, "See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." What a powerful promise. You know, Charles Spurgeon was one of the great British preachers. He was an evangelist. He was awesome. But a lot of people don't know that he struggled with depression. And he died at the age of 51. But man, he had a great way of interpreting scripture. It was so great, so beautiful. And he describes this 16th verse. Charles Spurgeon said, "God says, I have engraved you." He didn't say your name, but the name is there. But that's not all. God says, "I've engraved your person, your image, your circumstances, your sins, your temptations, your weaknesses, your wants, your works, everything about you, all that concerns you. I have put all of this together." And he ends up by asking this question: "Will you ever say again that your God has forsaken you when he has engraved you on his own palms?" Cares for you. He wants to give you peace, even when you're going through something that's so painful or difficult. He wants to give you peace. Pastor told me about he was doing a wedding of a bride and a groom, and they were going to recite their vows, and they had written them down, and then they tried to memorize them, and the groom was very, very nervous. And when I do a lot of weddings, usually the grooms are more nervous than the brides. And he was just shaky and everything. And so the pastor told me that he didn't have a written paper, but he just wrote the vows on his hands. And when he got up there and they were going to recite the vows, he opened his hand and there was nothing but a blurred, smeared blue blob on his hand because it had all melted because he was sweating. And he didn't know what to say. So he just said, well, I'm just going to say, I love you. And that's enough. And you know, in the palms of Jesus, there are nail-scarred prints, scars. And Jesus is basically saying, I love you, and that's enough. So where are we going in the Gospel of John? Well, they're leaving the upper room. They're going down to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus delivers these great teachings in John 15 and John 16. But you know, the very last thing he says to them before he gets to that amazing prayer in chapter 17, he gives this one final promise of peace, 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble. We all have trouble. We all have difficult times down here. But he says, take heart because I have overcome the world. And those two key words are in me. Friend, you're not going to find peace in the world. You're not going to find peace in pills or booze or parties. You're only going to find peace in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I was remembered about this Old Testament story, one of the strangest battles in history. You can find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There's a guy by the name of King Jehoshaphat. I love that name. And he was the king of Jerusalem. He was the king of Judah. But he had three neighboring nations that they all joined forces together, and they were going to attack King Jehoshaphat and Jerusalem and Judah. He was scared. So he called everybody together, and he got down on his knees, and he prays. And basically what he says, God, we don't know what to do. We really don't know what to do. But Lord, we know that our eyes are on you, but we're overwhelmed by this giant army that's going to attack us. And the Lord said, well, it's going to be my battle, but you have to fight it the way I tell you to fight it. Jehoshaphat said, okay, we'll do whatever you say. And so God said, instead of putting your mightiest warriors on the front lines, I want you to put the praise team on the front lines. I want you to put the choir on the front lines. Instead of chariots and spears and bows and arrows, all I want them to do is just march into the battle singing praises. If I had been Jehoshaphat, I probably would have argued with the Lord a little bit. Lord, I know we're going to praise you after the victory, but you want us to go into battle singing songs? How's that going to work? And God said, that's the way I want you to do it. And so here's what happened. Instead of putting the mighty warriors on the front lines, they put the choir. And they were just marching along, and they were just singing praises. Give thanks to the Lord, for the love endures forever. And they just kept singing that and singing that and singing that. Can you imagine the opposing army looking at them and probably laughing? These singing soldiers. But then a miracle happened. The Bible says those three opposing armies, somehow they begin to turn on each other. They begin to fight themselves. And when the army of Judah finally arrived, all of their enemies were wiped out. They thought they were going to be in this great battle. Instead, what they found was peace. And I thought, you know what? This really applies to us today. We have an overwhelming enemy who tries to lure us down. He tries to make us scared. He tries to make us afraid of everything. But we got to pray that same prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed. We need to pray it every day. We need to find God's peace. I've got this verse up here, chapter 12. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Can we all say that together out loud? We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. If you'll keep saying that, you're going to win your battle. The Lord's already won the battle. And if you keep your eyes on Him, you're going to win that battle. Romans 8 says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now, I've been talking about the peace of God, but there's a little something different, the peace with God. Because you see, the only way you can get this precious peace of God that passes all understanding, you have to have a personal peace with your Creator, with your God. The Bible says we're all sinners, and sometimes we're separated a little bit from God. And that's why God sent Jesus into this world to die on the cross, to take all the penalty for all of our sins, so that we can experience peace with God. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you today, do you have peace with God? And that's the only way you can have peace of God, if you have peace with God. I know many of you know Him, you love Him, He's your Lord and Savior, and right now you're claiming the peace that passes all understanding in the tranquility of all these crises that we're going through. But friend, I want to tell you, I just believe there are a lot of people who don't have that peace with God. You remember that old movie, Forrest Gump? A lot of people think I'm a lot like Forrest Gump. I used to run a lot. You remember Lieutenant Dan? He was angry at God. He was shouting at God in the middle of the hurricane. But God took him through the storm. And then there's that scene where Lieutenant Dan is sitting in a wheelchair on a boat. And he just flips out and he sits on the side of the boat and he picks himself up. He just puts himself on the side of the boat. No legs. And he says to Forrest, Forrest, I never thanked you for saving my life. Then he just flips over and jumps into the sea and he's swimming towards the sunset. And Forrest says, he never actually said so, but I think he made his peace with God. How about you? Have you made your peace with God? And you know, the best way to do that is by expressing your faith in Him. We read that verse. You got to have faith first. If you believe in Him and you trust Him and you follow Him and you surrender your life to Him, He's going to give you peace no matter what happens down here. A lot of crud is going to happen down here. but God wants to give you peace. I cannot really imagine, since I've been here, how many people have invited the Lord into their heart. And I'm just telling you, if you have enough faith to put all of your trust in Jesus, and if you love him, if you're following him, if you're giving him your best, if you surrender your life over to him, I'm telling you, he is going to save you, and he is going to give you peace that passes all understanding. Friend, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. If you have any decision on your heart, we'd love to help you, pray with you, encourage you any way we can. Let's stand, let's sing.